Starting with one store in 1978, Boot Barn has become the largest Western and workwear retailer in the nation. Supporting those who feed, build, and protect America, we offer the largest selection of cowboy boots, work boots, Western wear, workwear, and outdoor gear. With over 500,000 pairs of boots and thousands of top-quality jeans and clothing, it's an honor to support the people who make our country so great. Boot Barn. Keep West.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A White House meeting has wrapped up between President Biden and congressional leaders aimed at ironing out problems on a spending bill with just days to go before a Friday government shutdown deadline. House Speaker Mike Johnson, after the meeting, called them productive.
Over the last several days, quite literally around the clock, to get that job done. We're very optimistic. I hope that the other leaders came out here and told you the same. We believe that we can get to agreement on these issues and prevent a government shutdown.
The president calling on Congress to act, saying it would be devastating to the economy. He, along with Democratic leaders, also urged the House Speaker to take up the Senate-passed foreign aid bill for Ukraine and Israel. The economy, one of the issues on voters' minds today in Michigan, casting ballots in the presidential primary races. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra is in Alabama today, hearing from IVF patients and providers. It follows the state Supreme Court's ruling that frozen embryos are children. This is ABC News. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is out with its picks for the safest cars of 2024.
The Hyundai Motor Group was the big winner overall, with 16 Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis vehicles winning either Top Safety Pick or Top Safety Pick Plus awards. Among them, Kia's Telluride and the new for 2024 Hyundai Kona. Five different Mazdas took home Top Safety Pick Plus awards. That's the most of any single brand. And it comes after the IIHS changed its awards criteria, upping the requirements for backseat passengers and pedestrian crash avoidance systems. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
San Francisco's Board of Supervisors voting on a resolution later today to apologize to black residents for decades of discrimination and racist laws. All 11 members have signed on as sponsors of the resolution guaranteeing its passage. The measure calls on San Francisco to commit to making substantial ongoing systemic changes in the community. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she had just launched her new side gig. A true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert, I made her second income count by guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and her maximum refund.
What did she do with that refund? Find out next week.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at straighttalk.com. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Online only. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Allen. The leader of Minnesota's second largest school district has been tapped to lead schools in his hometown of Madison.
St. Paul Schools Superintendent Joe Gothard has been named the new superintendent of the Madison Metropolitan School District, beating out 2 other applicants for the job. Gothard is a Madison native, graduate of Edgewood College in Madison, and former MMSD employee, having served as a middle and high school principal and assistant superintendent before taking the St. Paul job in 2017. Gothard, recently named National Superintendent of the Year, will now lead Wisconsin's second largest public school district, serving 26,000 K-12 students in 52 schools. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A standing room only crowd at Monday night's Green Bay School Board meeting. That large turnout came to show their support for Dr. Claude Taylor Jr., asking the board to reinstate him as the Green Bay District's superintendent. One of Taylor's supporters, Mary Yang.
Every time I have a sliver of hope that you guys will do the right thing, it keeps coming down and getting shattered. Please do the right thing now. Reinstate Dr. Taylor.
Public comment portion of the meeting went on for over 2.5 hours. That came after the board held 2 closed sessions. The board says it followed procedures before Taylor's resignation.
Dr. Taylor submitted his resignation after an investigation began into comments he made on an Atlanta radio show. The board is aware that allegations were made that Dr. Taylor did not receive due process while the board was investigating his comments. The board says they ensured that all of Dr. Taylor's rights as an employee were respected. He was represented by his own legal counsel throughout the investigation leading up to his resignation. The statement aims to correct misinformation and says there have been threats made against individuals as a result of misinformation. I'm Rachel Charniak, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue, without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla, because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's Barbecue, available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The warmth continues for now as highs spike to the mid-50s. Clouds will thicken and winds will begin to whip as a chance of snow arrives tonight. Expecting around an inch, we'll be battling blustery cold by tomorrow. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. It's 50 degrees at our studios.
All right, so the grains were kind of able to hold on to gains today. Soybeans unable to buck the trend of lower soy meal. There's lots to talk about. I want to start at the difference between a supply-driven and a demand-driven market. I know it may be elementary for some of y'all, but I, for one, could use a fresh look at the supply and demand balance. From a molasses cookie kind of day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, I will chat with Carl Setzer from Consus, and directly following the news, Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net checks in. I'm in for the sojourning Chip Flory. It's me, your pal, Davis Michelson, behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. So glad you opted to join us today. To join me, you know, I'm flying solo today. Chip is headed down for to Commodity Classic. He and Big Apple Joe are making their way southward to Houston. You know, we got a rundown from Big Apple himself this morning about where you can find them. I'll hit those sort of as we go along here, if time permits. But man, we got a lot to talk about. I've got Carl Setzer from Consus on today, and I mean, of course, if it needs to be said, we'll hit the markets, what you need to do, old crop marketing, new crop marketing, you know, should have sold more, yada, yada, yada. We'll get to all of that. But Carl and I were going back and forth just a little bit ahead of the show here. And we, you know, he brought up some excellent points about this market and maybe some reasons why we should be careful not to be too down on these markets. In putting together this month's landowner, which is almost complete and ready to go out to you good subscribers, I took a look at 3 different economic reports from 3 different universities, and man, people are sour out there. Carl wants to talk about supply-driven markets and demand-driven markets. He wants to talk about the difference, and I gotta be honest, I don't know enough about where he's coming from to know what he's talking about. So I'm very anxious to get to this.
Because as I said, in a world of downtrodden ag thinkers, Carl Setzer thinks maybe things aren't quite as bad as they seem. We'll find out. After that, in the fourth segment today, I've got some fresh news on Chinese urea production. You're not going to want to miss that. We're going to talk fertilizer in the fourth segment. And directly after the news, we do have Matt Bennett from agmarket.net standing by for some perspective on these wacky markets today. So let's get to the news, where wheat futures were the upside leaders among the grain and oil seeds today, with the U.S. dollar under pressure. State-level winter wheat crop condition ratings released yesterday signaled more general improvement in the HRW crop over the past month. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said that without new U.S. military aid, his country will be unable to defend a Black Sea shipping corridor. May SRW futures extended above the 10-day moving average of 577 and one quarter, now facing resistance of the 20-day moving average of 590 and three quarters. July HRW wheat futures gained 9 3/4 to 576 and one quarter. July SRW wheat was up 9 1/4 cents to 586 and one quarter. July spring wheat closed at 666 and one half. That's up 8 3/4 today. The Ukraine thing, man, new U.S. military aid. We've had Congress out on recess. I think they're all fully assembled as of today. Maybe it's tomorrow. The other half gets back. I'm not sure which half is back. Whatever. I can't keep track of it all. The thought is, you know, if we're going to hear something on funding for Ukraine, it needs to happen quick, because it sounds like it's, spiraling out of control quickly over there in Ukraine. They need some cash to keep things rolling. Corn futures extended yesterday's gains amid supportive outside markets. South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier kept his Brazilian and Argentine corn crop estimates unchanged while maintaining a neutral to lower bias toward both crops moving forward. Mexico's agricultural harvested area is projected to drop in 2024 due to drought, prompting another record corn import figure this year. Here at home, May corn failed to best resistance at the 10-day moving average of 427.5. Initial support lies at Monday's close of 422.5. May corn futures, 2 cents higher today, 423.5. July corn futures gained 2 1/4 cents to 436. December corn futures added 3 cents to 460. Soybean futures posted follow-through gains after a solid overnight performance, but weakness in soybean meal dragged soybeans into negative territory. USDA did report daily export sales of 123,000 metric tons of beans for delivery to unknown destinations for the 23-24 marketing year. Dr. Michael Cordonier kept his Brazilian and Argentine soybean estimates unchanged, given rains last week and more in the forecast this week. Cordonier maintained a neutral to lower bias toward both the Argentine and Brazilian soybean crops. Here at home, May beans closed just below initial support at 11.43 1/4, indicating persistent bearish momentum. And actually, that May contract, we're going to call it 2.5 cents below support. It seems like support may have been broken yet again in the beans. We'll ask Carl about that. July cotton was 417 points higher today, up over 100 at 175. Brian Grady talked about that 100 level in the cotton this morning. Well, fat cattle futures were unable to muster a move higher in today's trade as technical selling limited the upside. USDA's cold storage report showed frozen beef stocks at the end of Jan down 4.9 million pounds from Dece. Beef stocks fell 11.2% from January 2023. 7.8% below the five-year average. April live cattle softened 37.5 cents today to 187.72.5. June futures down 52.5 to 183.57.5. And April feeders gained a nickel to 258.95. And on the snout side, lean hog futures higher today, although strength was limited as traders refused to build in too much futures premium to the cash index. Cold storage report showed pork stocks rose during January. April hogs down 37.5 to 85.90. June hogs faltered 52.5 to close at 99.32.5. And with that, let's bring in AgMarket.net's Matt Bennett. Mr. Bennett, welcome to AgriTalk. What do you like in these markets?
Well, it's nice to see a little bit of green on the screen finally. You know, you kind of reversed there yesterday on the corn market. Little bit of fall through here today. I mean, you know, up a penny or two, beats down 5-6 cents. several days in a row. That's so, right. You know, I mean, it certainly is nice to see. I mean, we're down here at Commodity Classic this week. You know, we're going to try to talk about markets somewhat. I think that, I've been following a little bit with Jim Wiesmeyer and Pro Farmer and whatnot. You know, I mean, this announcement this week on SAF could be a pretty darn big deal. So I think that as far as a longer term type of action, I think we need to pay close attention. Are we going to be able to see corn-based ethanol, you know, participate in this with the tax credits and whatnot? But yeah, this week is a better week than last week so far. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, though.
Well, and if I'm looking over at fat cattle, I mean, they tried earlier in the day. We at least had mixed. We wound up mixed in the feeders anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, this cattle market's had a heck of a run here after taking such a huge drop off. I think one last notable thing that I will tell you that I heard a little that I think could be playing into this corn thing is we're hearing about, you know, some maybe some Chinese business off the PNW. It's rumors right now, but there certainly seems to be a little bit of a buildup in the lineup out there. So that would tell you that someone's in there maybe buying some corn. That would be a really nice thing, something that we sorely need.
Well, that would be and well-timed, too. Maybe they're looking at this just little mini pop that we're getting here. It doesn't seem very scary, but maybe if I have one job, and that's to get corn, I might want to get on it.
Absolutely. Hey, buddy, good talking to you.
Matt Bennett, AgMarket.net. Appreciate you, brother. Okay, coming up next, we've got the commodities cowboy, Carl Setzer from Consus. We're going to talk some of the fundamentals. We're going to talk supply and demand balance. What is the difference between a supply-driven and a demand-driven market? Which one does Carl believe we're in? What should we... so many questions. AgriTalk.
Want a product that will give you nitrogen all season long? Then you want to try Envita. Envita gets directly into the cells of the plants, and it's easy to apply, foliar or in furrow. Envita provides the flexibility you need for your farm practices. Whether you want to reduce your nitrogen and maintain yield, or maintain your nitrogen and increase yield, Envita fits your farm. Envita SC formulation is OMRI registered. To learn more about Envita, visit azotic.com. That's AZOTIC.com.
Are you attending Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas this year? Head on over to AgMarket.net's booth, booth 6605, not just to say hi, but to check out how we can help with your marketing and consulting needs. Plus, enter our giveaway for your chance to win a shotgun. That's AgMarket.net. The booth is located on the third floor, number 6605. The risk of loss in trading futures and or options is substantial and may not be suitable for all investors or producers.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
U.S. Air Force.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. we're here all day. AgriTalk.
And in fact, we're here right now. Well, me and the dog are here right now. So glad to have you along with us here on AgriTalk on your Tuesday. February's coming to an end. It almost feels like we were robbed of that horribly depressing ongoing February, doesn't it? Like, it's usually so cold and you get to about the 20th and you think, wow, is it not summertime yet? Will it ever? Anyway, so here we are at the 27th of February and it feels great. 77 degrees here in Kansas City and sunshiny. It's gorgeous. It does sound like we're going to have a little bit of a cool down, but then after that, right back to the upside down the temperatures. Let's all keep our fingers crossed for that. Okay, let's bring him in. Carl Setzer from Consys. Carl, you're a great friend of the show. You've been with us since pretty much the beginning, brother. How are you today?
Doing fantastic today. How are you, Davis?
I'm sure glad to hear that. I'm very well, very well. Before we get too far into this conversation, you and I didn't talk about this ahead of time when we were comparing notes, but I got to know, and I'm pretty sure the listeners would like to know too, do you have any idea if miniature steers taste as good as the regular sized ones? Can you report on that?
Oh, a lot less tenderizing.
Really?
I don't know, and I'm going to catch flack from that from within the office. We'll leave it at that. But that's my guess. That's my guess. Okay. They just seem tender. They seem like they'd be tender.
You know? I would think so, too. Yeah.
Prime rib, end to end.
Boy, that's a dream come true. That's a dream come true right there. Carl, there's an awful lot. I'm really glad to have you on here. You're a super pragmatic, reasonable, sensible, super smart guy. Not too much build up here. But you said something in our emails this morning that I really, really like, and I have to remind myself of this from time to time. And you said this, I think we need to stress not to panic. I want to give you a chance to speak broadly about that, and then maybe we can get into some more specifics. Go ahead. Why? I don't know. Panic seems easy, buddy.
It certainly does. And, you know, the thing is, Davis, the way I look at the market, I mean, let's be realistic here. $4, it's a lot harder to sell $4 corn than it is $6 corn on the board. It's a lot harder to sell 11 and 30 cent soybeans than it is to sell $14 soybeans. And we're starting to get loaded up. The funds are starting to get loaded up on the short side. There is no risk premium to speak of in this market. And now I'm not saying that we're just going to put in a V bottom and rally off that. I'm not saying that by any means. But you got to look at it, and pretty soon, all the bearish news that you can throw at a market has been thrown at it, and that is pretty close to where we're at right now. And that's why I'm telling guys, you know, don't panic, don't beat yourself up too hard, because the market is giving signs that it's nearing a bottom. Now we could just hold at that bottom for weeks, months. Mm-hmm. But that's better than this continual bleeding that we've had to the downside. And this is especially in front of this spring planting season, you know, and you know, like I said, Davis, I'm not trying to get bullish, but boy, it is hard to get more bearish at this stage.
I'll give you that. Sure. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Are the acreage numbers something that could maybe give us a little nudge or at least help us to place a floor a little bit if we get some more or fewer corn acres? I mean, are these the sorts of things you're talking about?
I think the acreage is something we definitely have to watch. I think, you know, corn acres, you know, might be a little strong with what came out of the forum. And of course, you know, we're a month away from the USDA numbers, and those will be adjusted as well, obviously. But boy, on one hand, you want to look at it and say, you know, we're probably going to lose corn acres. But then I look at the other side, and this is where I think we're starting to, you know, maybe overlook this a little bit. You got to look at spring weather coming up at us. And, you know, we've seen gradual improvement to our drought conditions, but there's still roughly a quarter of the United States, the Corn Belt, that's still in drought. And a lot of that area is in, you know, in Iowa, and especially that eastern side of Iowa, that drought is hanging in there. You know, we're sitting here looking at a market. It's starting to get a little bit dry out here. I'm not panicking, because if you're going to have a drought, spring is the best time to have a drought, because you can get that crop in fast. Yeah. But boy, if we don't get any rain after that, you know, and it's hard to, you know, I'm putting out some things that I'm definitely watching. Mm-hmm. With a 55% chance of shifting back to a La Nina this coming production season, yeah, I can't be bearish weather right now. I really can't. I can't be overly bullish, but boy, like I said, you know, before, Davis, when we have no risk premium in this market, we're oversold and the funds are loaded up to the short side. It's just going to take one spark, and it's, you know, last guy up, we shut the lights off for us.
Right, right. Or can we, that feels like it assumes something of a herd mentality among these shorts. One guy's out, they all go. You know, they find that hole in the fence, and that's all she wrote. Now they're all over the neighborhood. Is that part of your thinking here?
It is, and you know, over the past week or so here, we've seen the weak shorts get flushed out. We see, you know, for example, today in soybeans, when we rallied, to me, that was a perfect, you know, we're getting some shorts out ahead of first notice day, ahead of month end. That's not surprising to get the weak ones out. But we need to see buying go all day long from bell to bell. And see these funds in there, and we just haven't got that momentum behind us yet. We just need that one spark. And I put out one example, weather. You know, like Matt said, if we see China come in and buy corn off the PNW, that would be a huge. I mean, there's just this market is starved for something to trade fresh, and it isn't going to take much, and we're going to see things turn. That's my opinion on this one.
Well, I like that. And I would just reiterate what you were careful to point out at the beginning of this segment of the conversation is that you're not predicting or even expecting. You're not hoping for this huge dramatic V bottom followed by a parabolic move back to 775. And, you know, everything's great. If right now we're mostly concerned, we'll just stop the selling. Can we just stop the selling for now? We've talked about that as phase one here.
That's it. Just stop the bleeding. Let us regroup a little bit. Let the market work through what it's got. And then we start to grind higher. And, you know, these saucer bottoms, that is what I could see coming at us.
All right. Well, okay. But one of the main concerns is supply. I mean, if we're looking at carryout numbers, I mean, I think it could be argued we're in an oversupplied market and in danger of a supply sort of snowball, as Chip somebody sometimes talks about. Let's get into that difference between a supply-driven and a demand-driven market. We may need to clean up our conversation and finish it up on the other side of the break, but Carl, I feel like this is vital to getting to where you're coming from.
Yeah, and I'll start by just dividing the two up, Davis, when you're in a supply-driven market, all talk is on the available bushels, and the available bushels are what's driving the market. Available cattle are what's driving futures, available hogs, what the available commodity is. When you have a demand-driven market, that means you have more buyers than sellers. That's basically how we can, you know, you've got the demand. We have very, very good demand in our market right now. Corn demand from the 2022 to 23 marketing year to the 23-24, 849 million bushel increase in corn demand from year to year. Huge jump in corn demand. The thing is, that still leaves us with a 14.9% stocks to use, up 5 points from last year. We have huge demand for our corn, Davis. We just have that much corn to work through, and that huge supply is hanging over the market. And then let's throw in the South American crop going to be bigger. Global corn production going to be up, I believe, 22 million metric tons this year over last year on a whole. Then all of a sudden you take all the importers and they say, hey, we probably don't need to push as hard. We don't need to jump out. We don't need to line up 6 months worth of usage because we got this huge supply at us. We can go month to month. We can go mouth to mouth. We can do whatever we want. And that is where we're at with corn right now. We're even there a little bit on soybeans with this huge crop coming out of South America. I mean, we're going to have a big soybean crop out of South America this year. There is no way around that. Even in the United States, we got to look at our demand this year was cut 161 million bushels this marketing year from last, Davis. That only increased our carryout 51 million bushels. We still have a tight 7.6% stocks to use ratio. And quite honestly, I'm going to give everybody a secret here.
Hold it. We got to go to a break. Cliffhanger on AgriTalk.
There I was, driving along when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides. Every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma and always read and follow label directions.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, hard red winter wheat futures gained 9 3/4 to 5.76 1/4. July SRW wheat up 9 1/4 cents to 5.86 1/4. May corn futures were 2 cents higher, 4.23 1/2. December corn futures added 3 cents to 4.60. May soybean futures were 4 1/2 cents lower, 11.40 3/4. July beans declined 3 3/4 cents to 11.51 1/2. July cotton 417 points higher at 175. On your livestock's April fat cattle down 37 1/2 cents to 187.72 1/2. April feeders up a nickel, 258.95, and April lean hog futures down 37 1/2 to 85.90. Get more market news every single market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location, next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Folding a fitted sheet, programming the thermostat, matching your socks. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your home doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like finding that missing sock. That's simple human sense.
Your hometown auto owner's insurance agents working for you. The Jerry Thompson Insurance Agency, downtown Durand.
When it comes to planting, we know that it takes more than just seed and soil. It's Matthew here with Bluff Country Feed and Seed, and I know that it takes quality seed, fertilizer, as well as expertise. That is how you build a proper foundation and lay down your roots. This is exactly why we can be your experts, because we are rooted here locally. We know Bluff Country because we live here with you. Strong roots lead to a strong business and a thriving community. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The warmth continues for now as highs spike to the mid-50s. Clouds will thicken and winds will begin to whip as a chance of snow arrives tonight. Expecting around an inch, we'll be battling blustery cold by tomorrow. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. It's 50 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. I've got Carl Setzer from Consus with me today. We were talking about the differences between a supply-driven and a demand-driven market. We had made it over into the soybeans, and we cliffhanged you. Sorry about that, beloved listeners. It's fun. It's fun, right? It's a thing. Carl has one. He said he's got a secret. Carl, do you remember the secret?
Oh, absolutely, I do. Davis, I gotta tell you, I mean, when these WASD numbers come out every month, I know colleagues that sort through every single line and look at over and dwell on the numbers until the next report comes out. I am not that ambitious.
All right.
I go straight to the stocks to use. Yep. I really don't care what the other numbers tell me. You tell me what the stocks to use ratio is going to be and if it's getting larger or smaller. That'll save you a lot of heartache going through these numbers. Yeah. And there again, let's look at them. The stocks to use we mentioned on corn, we went from 9.9 to 14.9. It's a 5% jump in stocks to use. We are above a point where we need to be rationing. If we get around that 10, 11%, you tend to see price rationing develop. Okay. Soybeans, our stocks to use in the 2022-23 marketing year, 6.1%. This year, it's going to increase to 7.6%. 7% is usually where we see some price rationing take place. Wheat, we're going from 30 to 35. So our stocks to use have all increased from last year to this year. So to see price pressure, really not that surprising. It's how much price pressure you see. And where we've seen the most of that is because the global stocks to use, corn and soybeans, are getting loose, just like the United States is. We're starting to get a little bit more production, a little bit more supply in there. The global wheat supply expected to tighten a little bit. Now let's look at where the funds are positioned. Pretty close to record short positions in corn and soybeans. They're short wheat, but only about 75,000 contracts or so. Funds are not real heavy to sell this wheat complex. And you look at that global stocks to use, that is where I get a little bit of optimism underneath this wheat market, because we're just not seeing that managed money selling in that complex like we have in the corn and soybeans. But even so, we're not that far removed. We get one hiccup in production that maybe a developing La Nina this spring or summer could bring to Argentina like it did 2 years ago, and we're going to see this market flip.
That's really interesting. Now, I guess my concern is, of course, you know, through all that, we still need to grow a crop. Are you still up in Michigan? I'm not sure where you are geographically anymore, Carl.
I am in Lansing, Michigan. Yes,
Lansing,
sir.
Michigan. So what was the snow cover like up there? I'm concerned there wasn't enough snow to really recharge us to the degree that we need to. You already said it's dry around here in some key areas.
I pushed snow once this winter, and basically that's because I wanted to get out of the house for a day. seriously, we have not had we've had some rains. And as a matter of fact, we're supposed to get storms, you know, this system coming through tonight, supposed to give us some rain.
That's right.
But, you know, knock on wood, the horse pasture and the neighbor's cattle lots were dry. Matter of fact, the neighbors across the road cleaned out their cattle pens and already worked the ground. We are dry and we have no frost out here.
Now, there is the argument that modern seed genetics are up to the task here. And in that respect, maybe droughts get a little bit less scary as we go on, but we'd still sure like to see a little soil moisture. Let's just talk about marketing really quickly on corn and soybeans. So given all of this, you know,
perhaps there is a saucer bottom. How do we market in corn and soybeans for what you're describing here?
You know, I look at these markets, and like I said, I do feel that we're getting towards, you know, without a huge black swan event, and that's what we have staring at us in these markets right now. You know, what the unknown is, especially with the geopolitical developments taking place. I'm advising my guys, look, sell what you need to, you know, don't dump your entire production.
Okay.
But if you need to generate cash flow, peel off some bushels. I mean, you know, I hate to see a guy come in here and you know, looking at, you know, March futures at 408, let's go out to the summer, 436. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all relative, but the thing is you still to market some bushels at these values and then make some target orders. If we rally 5 cents, market another small percentage or however you want, but get a plan in place, because look at the way this market has been. We've seen gains in the overnight session that we haven't during day trade.
Right.
There's opportunity, but you got to be prepared for it. And then, you know, let's not fall asleep on those new crop values out there. Deese 24 corn at 460.
Sure.
Soybeans sitting out there, 1130, pretty much the same as where we are right now. But the thing is, I think the market is gonna rally, but if we don't, we need to have a plan in place, and that's where I'm saying we need to peel off some bushels, especially if you need to generate some cash flow.
Yeah, just make a little breathing room. If we're not careful, we're gonna run out of time without talking about livestock. Ongoing liquidation in China's hog herd, what do you make of it?
That's something that I think we need to look at, because we have a twofold reaction we could see here in the United States. That January hog slaughter came in at 37.25 million head in China, 29% from a year ago. Now, that put a lot of pork on their, you know, supply line ahead of the Lunar New Year. We've seen some of these numbers indicating maybe red meat demand was a little bit higher during the Lunar New Year than what was forecast. And China has been a steady buyer of beef and pork from us. I think China might be going through some consolidation in their hog herd, but they still want to make some imports from the United States. On the one hand, I think we could see more beef and pork sold. But the feed grain exports, the soy meal, if we see this contraction in China's, you know, their sow herd was down to 40.6 million head at the end of January. That was down 7% from last January. If we continue to see this contraction, we might see less feed grain demand going into China, but we could see more red meat demand. And that's actually better for the U.S. farmer, because we can all take part in that process.
Yeah, absolutely. Cattle numbers still look to be a problem. No signs of expansion yet. You mentioned the brownification of the pastures up there in Michigan. Others are not immune to the brownification as well. The beef supply, the cattle supply. Let's go there.
Cattle supply is tight. We know it's tight, but you know, looking at it, You know, the old saying is, you know, Davis, you feed $6 corn with a teaspoon and $4 corn with a scoop shovel.
Right.
And, you know, guys they're holding these animals a little bit longer. We're seeing steers hang in there a little bit longer. Some of these weekly, you know, the carcass weights, if you follow them, which I watch them pretty closely, you know, we've seen them up 5, 6, 7 pounds from a year ago. You can have less numbers, but still generate a lot of beef when you look at it that way. And with the consumer demand being just a tad bit concerning heading into the grilling season, I'm not trying to get overly optimistic on livestock and especially on cattle. But boy, our red meat demand has not slowed at all. You go into the retail side of it and, you know, people have no problem paying these prices for beef going into the summer, and we're not even to the heat of the grilling season yet.
Right.
to me, that is a good outlook. I think, you know, cattle futures hang in here for a while, especially with cheap feed grains and these declining numbers we've seen. And, you know, our total red meat supply, you know, you saw the numbers. We were down from where we were last year at this time. It's going to take a little bit of building to get that back up. And we are importing a lot of beef, but it's that, you know, that select grade for hamburger. Oh. I tell you, we're sitting pretty good. I'm not too worried about livestock right now.
Okay. To wrap up here, Carl, we may be going over some territory we covered earlier here, but I want you to put a lid on this conversation. The outlook for grain farmers, not so good right now, but you're saying that there's no reason to panic at this point.
Yeah, I'm not panicking by any means, you know, and yeah, it's depressing to look at, and I get that, but boy, you know, you got to look at where you are, and like I said, it's going to take one small hiccup, and we could see this market, you know, firm up,
yep,
you
so
know,
we need
quite
to be ready.
Quickly. Watch that South American production next year. If we see a return to a La Nina and it's even remotely as strong as the last one, look, you know, that cut Argentina's production by 50%.
Yeah.
You know, we can't rule that out happening this year because they are still rebuilding their soil moistures from that drought that they had.
Carl, I'm going to have to cut you loose there. Dude, wow, what a great talk. Lots to think through. Carl Setzer from Consus, I appreciate you being here, buddy. When we come back, we're going to talk fertilizer, the weather, and then we'll be done for the day. I know. Such sweet sorrow on AgriTalk.
This year, wouldn't you like to stop feeling self-conscious about your receding hairline or thinning hair? Millions of men and women around the world trust Hair Grow from New Nordic as an effective way to get thicker-looking hair. Hair Grow is backed by an exclusive U.S. patent and is clinically proven to promote more hair growth. Ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens or shop online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com. That's New, NordicUSA.com. Amazon, or ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens.
This year, Dell Technologies wants to help you do amazing things with their best tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors, and more. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Again, that's Dell.com/deals.
Guys, stop putting your love life on hold. U.S. Pharmacy has some exciting news. If you've been wanting to try Viagra or Cialis, now is the perfect time. Call today and receive 50 little blue pills or little yellow pills for only $120 with free shipping. Why order some low-dose sildenafil from one of those subscription services when we can give you what you want now? Call 800-896-1696, and we'll rush your order discreetly packaged to your door. Been thinking about Viagra or Cialis? Call U.S. Pharmacy at 800-896-1696 for as little as only $120 for 50 pills. Need your package in a hurry? Call 800-896-1696 and ask about our express shipping option, and we'll rush your order to you as soon as possible. Save money on the little blue or yellow pill you've been wanting to try. Again, 800-896-1696 now. That's 800-896-1696.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730. Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Now, this is one of those songs you could sing at any age of life. In fact, I'll need her if Chip and Joe are listening wherever they may be. Hey, fellas, travel safely. We're thinking about you. Looking forward to hear what they come up with down at Commodity Classic. The rest of this, after this show, the rest of it is all wall-to-wall Commodity Classic. It's going to be awesome. Tomorrow's afternoon show will be in the NCGA booth. That's up on the third floor, booth number 7405. And then after we'll get into more later as the week progresses here. But that's where you can catch them doing AgriTalk live tomorrow afternoon, NCGA booth 7405 on the third floor. Great conversation with Carl Setzer there. That was a really, really refreshing perspective. A lot of gloom and doom out there. Just let's not panic. Let's keep our heads about us. I think it's a great message that he had. If you're just joining us right now, you got to go back and listen. Bro, he was really good. I have some news here that we didn't get to this morning. I want to talk about fertilizer prices. I've got new prices. Well, they were out last week, but these are the latest that we have. And in fact, shameless plug for the landowner newsletter. I'm just finishing it up, and each month I do a month-on-month analysis of fertilizer prices. But I'll give you the most recent ones here that we found because it's interesting. You know what? I'm going to kick it off with this news story from Ag Resource. It wound up in my email this morning. This from Ag Resource. Chinese urea production rates soar on low-cost coal. There's so much we could talk about just in there. You say the word coal. Don't get me started. Anyway, from Ag Resource, quote, profitable production economics are supporting China's highest urea operating rates in over a decade, as well as its rapidly growing fertilizer stockpile. China is the marginal urea supplier and normally exports when prices exceed the cost of production, which Ag Resource estimates at $225 a metric ton. That'll be a wholesale value. They continue, a revival in Chinese urea operating rates in the first quarter of this year offers hope to those seeking low-cost tons in the second quarter, when we believe the government's export ban will likely end. That's China's export ban of urea. They did that to try They did that to encourage domestic production. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. But it's about to end. It's coming to an end. The article continues and finishes with this. China's main consumption period is in late of the first quarter, so that's kind of nowish, and the producer normally returns to the global market afterward when it exports prices fall. We've seen China pull back from urea exports early in my career, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago over at Pro Farmer, chasing down the inputs and trying to figure out what is the deal with nitrogen? What are the price movers? What are, you know, what is it? What do I need to know about Chinese urea? Was the one. They were the leader in global exports, oftentimes a benchmark price setter, and then off the market they go. And here we are. If we could get some urea back into this market out of China, it may help to not necessarily press down U.S. prices as much as just help global supply. Josh Linville of StoneX is always good to point out that sometimes things happen in the other side of the world that don't directly affect us here in the field, but they can impact the overall global situation, and maybe some supplies get rerouted from here to there, yada, yada, yada. More fertilizer in the world is a good thing. I think we can all agree on that. How much does it cost? Let's go to the Illinois Cost of Production Report. This from USDA last week, the 22nd of February, George Washington Davis Day. I've got anhydrous ammonia. Now, this is just for Illinois. Just for Illinois, I've got anhydrous ammonia down during the reporting period, 45 cents lower. That's on a range of 730 to 865 per short ton on anhydrous ammonia. The Illinois average down 45 cents at 784.55. Let me pop over to Iowa too, which is a separate report. Their offer is actually up $18 to 755.60. That's an average. But the high and the low end of this range, it's a lot narrower range, 725 to 775 in Iowa, to give us an average anhydrous print of 755.60. Back over to Illinois, reminder, 730 to 865 was our range there for an average of 784.55. Let's just buzz through these. We'll stay in Illinois. This is Illinois urea, up $7.20 to 533.60. UAN 28% up $1.88, 376.10. DAP, diammonium phosphate, unchanged, dead steady at 741.89. MAP is up, MAP is actually down $14.33 to 765.67. Phosphates are an area of concern. Overpriced. You know, we talk about that UAN 28% at 376.10, call it 375 with 380 anhydrous. That feels about right for 28%. Your potash down a whole 25 cents to 519.33 in Illinois. Farm diesel up 16 cents to an Illinois average of $3.27. That's on a range from $3 to $3.49 per gallon. We got to get over to Iowa quickly. Once again, anhydrous is up 18 bucks, but still at 755.60 in Iowa. Urea down 11 bucks to 578.25. They didn't report 28%. They usually don't on this report for some reason. We got 32%. That's up $3.75, 382.25. Basically priced in line where I like to see it with anhydrous ammonia in Iowa there. DAP, we're at 783.33. MAP is down about $8.50 to 828.80. And your potash is at 538.50 in Iowa. That's down $11.70. But look out for farm diesel. We're up 30 cents in Iowa to $3.25 per gallon. And propane, liquid propane gas, up 3 cents per gallon to $1.61. I will have the monthly plus some charts, a huge, awesome analysis page in Landowner Newsletter. Subscribers, it's coming just a couple more days. I'm putting the lid on it today. Let's talk about the weather. You want to? National Weather Service 6 to 10 day temperature outlook. Below normal temperatures from the western coast of Nebraska over to the Pacific Ocean. Above normal temperatures expected areas east of there. 6 to 10 day precipitation outlook. Basically near normal in Idaho and above normal every place else. Get out to the 7 to 14 day March 6 to March 12. Basically the same setup. Cold out west, above normal temperatures remain out east. Still no Speedo weather in Alaska, by the way. Below normal precip comes into the Dakotas, otherwise above normal temperatures from that. So thanks, huge thanks to Carl Setzer from Consus, Matt Bennett from Ag, Matt Bennett for joining us this morning. I'm your host, Davis Michelson on AgriTalk. Have a great day, everybody.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our Farmers First philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631.
It's a mystery where Old Spice finds its amazing scents like Himalayan sea salt. But I'm thrilled they have, because no other body wash exfoliates and moisturizes 24/7 like Old Spice Gentleman's Himalayan Sea Salt Body Wash. Now, if only there was a mountain range separating the Indian subcontinent from the Tibetan Plateau where I could hide my Old Spice and keep my family from stealing it, my impossibly smooth skin would finally be safe.